As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Trailed off there. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Scoots Magoots. What's up, dude?
Live from your mom's basement. It's the bros.
We are back in the basement.
I don't really like that, actually.
I don't either. That sounds gross. Live from my parents' basement.
There we go. Better. much, much better. I didn't like that first one at all.
I didn't care for it either.
No, but we are we're pumped today because we get to talk about one of our favorite shows that we tried to tell you to watch last year. And some of you listened, of you didn't.
Not enough of you listened.
Not enough, but it got called back for a second season, so I guess enough people listened.
That's a good point. Yeah, well.
Thanks to us.
Thanks to us. I'm going to give us all the credit. No, but honestly, like, we said multiple times. We even covered it last year when not that many people were watching it because we enjoyed it so much. And we are here to talk about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Season one was fantastic. Episode one of season two, fantastic. And if you have not watched this show yet, I don't know why you don't believe us. We told you about Southern Hospitality. Season two was a huge success. We were correct about that. We're trying to tell you about Martha's Vineyard. You need to watch this show. It's so good. The characters are awesome. They all know each other as well. So, like, the drama is real. It's palpable. It's fun. But here's the best thing about season two, I think, episode one, is that even if you haven't seen season one and you're not going to go back and watch it, you are definitely able to dive into this show in season two. I would recommend going back to watch, but you don't have to.
No. I would say that. And look, these are the types of shows that we're usually drawn to.
Yep.
When it comes to, you know, younger people in a house altogether, whether it's the original Summer House, called Summer House OG.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, that works. Southern Charm, VPR, things like that. Like, it's just different than the housewife shows. It gives you a little bit different of a perspective on life, maybe, if you want to look at it that way. But it's mostly just fun.
It's just,
like,
fun.
They're out there. They're having a lot of fun. It's not a lot of produced drama. It's really just stick a bunch of people in a house together and just see what the fuck happens.
Yeah.
Kind of like the real world.
That's a good way to put it. It's got some real world-esque-ness to it. That's a word. But I think that you nailed it. Like, they are all fresh and new to TV, to reality TV. I'm always partial to those shows because they haven't been in the game long enough to start to try to wheel and deal and, like, produce and do shady shit off screen to set themselves up. Everything you're getting out of these people is 100% genuine, and it makes for awesome TV. Not to mention, it's a very likable cast.
It is, honestly. Oh, well, we'll get into it a little bit.
There's a couple people.
There's a couple people that aren't that likable. However, the cast as a whole and their interactions, and really, honestly, something that stands out to me all the time with the show, the way that they still respect each other. Like, yeah, of course, you're going to get into a fight with somebody that you're staying with the entire summer. You're going to have to see every weekend. You're going to eventually have some fireworks that pop off. But they always seem to hear each other out. So there's not a lot of just screaming and yelling and nonsense over each other. And that's where, you know, the headaches start to come in. But I will give them credit. And you can kind of tell already in the first episode of this season, they've gotten their feet wet. That first season, there's a little bit of growing pains, of course, but it was still really good. They've been out there. They went to BravoCon. They've done other shows. They've been hanging out together, which is huge.
Massive.
They've been going on trips in the off season, which is awesome. That's how you, you know, that's how you cultivate your talent. I don't have to tell you. That's the off season pays off, you know?
You gotta put in the work in the off season, okay? Big contracts are made in the off season.
Everybody knows that.
So if you want to perform, you gotta hang out. But that's the thing, and that's what's good about this group, and that's, like, something that I think what pulls us to the show as well is it's definitely more in tune with this generation, like our generation.
Yeah.
In reference to, like, how they communicate with one another, for example. Like, they are more respectful than other shows in a lot of facets. It doesn't mean they won't throw a ton of shade. It's just when things settle down, they tend to be able to come back together and have, a real conversation and squash it, or at least let it lay without it lingering for too long. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you'll see it, and you see it in the conversation a little bit later with Jordan and Jasmine when they sit down. There's no real middle ground there. And, you know, we'll find out why Jordan feels the way that she does, of course. But she still hears Jasmine out. She lets Jasmine talk. And yeah, Jasmine might identify that as just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting to see what Jordan's going to do while she's just talking. Whatever it might be, she's going to be heard out. And pretty much all of these arguments lead that way. And it's a lot easier for us to track as a viewer.
Yeah.
To understand what the fuck's going on. And also, if something doesn't have a resolution, the other person who's holding on to it will say, you know what, I just don't think this is going to work. They're not going to do that fake bullshit apology that we see in so many Housewife shows where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's fine. Let's hug it out. We'll be okay. And then the very next episode, it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Like, if it's squashed, it's squashed. If it's not, then you know it's not. And I appreciate that.
I do, too. And they let you know. And it, look, we're just trying to sell the show to you. But just watch it. You'll understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's really solid TV. And I want this show to stick around. And that only happens if people watch the show.
Yeah.
So watch the show. It's back for season two for a reason. Okay? Bravo didn't bring it back because it's not good. Okay? Watch the damn show.
Watch it.
All right. You got anything else? No.
Shortest episode ever.
Let's dive into this one. And we start out with everybody arriving back to the house, getting reintroduced to all the characters, which was good because it's a lot of people. And we've watched a lot of shows. And I definitely needed like a refresher a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was nice to like reconnect with everybody, start to remember. I'm like, oh yeah, I love that dude. Oh yeah, I hate her. Oh yeah, I really enjoyed her last season. And that literally happened as they were all showing up and Dev was watching with me. So she was asking. It was weird. It was like a role reversal because for the vast majority of Bravo shows, I would have to ask her or like as we're watching the first episode for me, like it's my first time with a show. She's kind of filling me in as we go, like, oh, this person does this, this person's like this, so on and so forth. This was a new experience for me, and I enjoyed it because she hasn't seen season one yet. So we're sitting there watching episode one of season two, and she's asking me questions like, oh, like, who's that? Like, what's their vibe? And I got to sit there and go, oh, we really like her. She's great. Oh, he's kind of an asshole.
Oh, man,
sometimes.
You were doing the we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love that.
The general we for Dev and I.
Hell yeah.
Wasn't that nice?
I like to call that the royal we.
The royal we.
Like, yeah, I'm making this decision for us. Yeah. We like her.
We like her. We don't like him. So, but that's the thing. Like, if Dev doesn't like somebody just because I like them, she will tell me, no, she sucks. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
And then we go into a little good banter. And that's why for any bros out there, show them this portion of the show because now you have something you can share in your house. It's a beautiful thing to be able to share Bravo. Share that with them. Share this clip right here if you want to try to convince your bro to be a Bravo bro.
There you go. That's all you need.
But we dive in and we're checking in with everybody. We get Summer and Jordan going back to the house and Jordan's not pumped to see Jasmine. And last year, we remember Jasmine and Silas had just gotten married, and it was a fucking disaster in the house because Silas is the biggest asshole on the planet. Let me preface this with thank you for your service, Silas. He's serving overseas right now, and of course, we're not going to take away from that because we appreciate what you're doing.
The two aren't mutually exclusive. It's okay.
Absolutely not, yeah. Because you are still an asshole, but thank you for your service. However, we get a Silas-free summer this. I'm so excited. Because that was the only downfall of last year, honestly, because it got to a point with Silas where it was like, this isn't fun to watch anymore. The way you're talking to your wife and treating your wife on national TV is a fucking joke, buddy. So I'm pumped that we get to have a Jasmine that is not with Silas this summer. I'm pumped that we get a house without Silas. And more so because everyone keeps referencing, and this is what they're talking about in the car and why Jordan's not tight with Jasmine anymore because of last summer. Because she's like, I didn't recognize who that was. This is a girl that I worked at the Playboy Club with that had a Skrillex shaved head haircut at one point.
A lot of mentions of this Playboy Club.
I know.
Did you ever wonder that? You're like, what is this?
Well, they all worked there. So, like, that's why like, a lot
is
of their...
New York?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I've never been.
That's not even a... all right.
That's not even one of those.
Whatever you say.
That's not even one of those moments where it's like, oh, I've heard about it. No, I really haven't been to that one. But, that's where a lot of the women have met, and that's why this show works as well, is because there are past relationships. It's not just shoving people into a house that have never met. But because of the marriage last year, Jasmine put on this front of the perfect housewife, and that's what we got from her when she was around Silas. We would get glimpses of her away. There was that one night out that she went out without Silas.
Yeah.
And we got a totally different Jasmine that night.
Completely different Jasmine. And when she was in the house, she was making sure that she was making him breakfast every day while he was still working.
Ironing his
clothes.
Which
is just like bullshit, dude. Just fucking take off. Like, it makes no sense. You don't have to work while you're on a TV show. You can work in the mornings and then you're done. She had to come up and give him breakfast. And if it wasn't cooked to his liking, he didn't eat it. And then he threw a fucking hissy fit later saying, oh, well, yeah, I'm still hungry because you fucked up my eggs. It's like, dude, go make your own goddamn eggs, you idiot. Yeah. I don't want to get re-mad about him, but he sucked so much. Mm-hmm. And now we get Jasmine coming back, and she's doing that thing where she's just acting like nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I don't really understand why Jordan doesn't like me. I don't really get it why she doesn't want to hang out with me. She doesn't want to hang out with you, one, because your husband's an asshole.
Yeah.
And who would want to hang out with that dude? And two, because you act so different, especially around him. So what's she supposed to do? Like, hey, why don't you come out for a girl's night? Don't bring your husband.
Right.
No one's going to do that. And you, obviously, it's your husband. You're going to draw a line in the sand. But you're acting like you don't understand why. And I feel like the ignorance of that is why Jordan is pissed off and she's not really going to approach you. So you have to prove yourself this summer. You're not with Silas anymore. You need to come into the house with a positive energy and show everybody you are who you used to be in 2018 and not whatever this model wife is that Silas has built over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I think that she's coming into this summer with that headspace. Like, I think that that is her goal. But it's a dangerous game to play if you are not going to acknowledge what happened last summer.
I think she's just afraid of Silas. Like, he's going to watch the show.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's like first off, Jasmine's pregnant right now, too.
Is she?
So, like, it's not like they're going to break up or anything.
Wait, so that's she is actually pregnant.
I don't know if she's pregnant on the show, but she's pregnant now, currently.
Well, they were asking if she was pregnant.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll find out. We'll see how that goes. But it's not like she's going to walk in and say, hey, guys, this is my perspective. I understand that, you know, living with me and my husband last year sucked, which, by the way, I forgot that she was having that screaming loud sex. I completely forgot about that. I must have blocked it out of my mind. Thank God. But it was brought back. So that was annoying. And if she came in and said, yeah, I understand, you know, you don't want to be around my husband, or it was a little different last year, it was a little awkward, I'm going to try to show you that I'm still here. Yeah, that might go a long way with Jordan. That is not going to go anywhere with Silas. Silas is going to watch that and be like, why would you say that about me? Is it my fault that I'm doing this? And then gaslight her into thinking it was her fault. And then it would get a lot worse. So I get why she's doing it. But in a perfect world, if she could just talk to Jordan and say that, maybe off camera, I think things would be better.
Yeah, and we might get that. You know, we got the first conversation out of the way, which we'll get to later. And I think that it's going to take time, because at the same time, most people are going to be defensive in general. And then when it's a marriage involved, you're always going to be defensive. So I think that there's a way forward for them, and we'll talk about it more when we get to that point. But everyone else starts arriving to the house, and I forgot Shanice was there because she left early last summer. And
yeah, she was there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, she wasn't there the whole time, and so I forgot about Shanice. But I remembered as she came in, I was like, oh, yeah, she's a fucking tornado. So
yeah.
Great that she's here all summer, because she's going to cause some shit, which is going to be fun to watch. The best thing about all of these people in the house is, like, they're there to enjoy the summer. There is no ulterior motives here. It's not about relationships. It's not about, you know, the summer house crew that we're watching now that's getting a little bit older, which is fine. It's a different kind of show now. But this is more so like the OG summer house, in which it's like, we're going to a house in Martha's Vineyard. We're getting fucked up all summer. Let's make some dumb decisions, see what happens. So everyone starts getting there. Alex gets there, and we find out that him and Summer had hung out. Man, the way that he was saying it, he's like, yeah, we hung out in L.A., we hung out in New York, that was it. I was like, no, there's definitely more here.
Yeah.
You guys definitely did a little bit more than that. This is a weird way to say that. Like, we hung out bi-coastal, but nothing else happened.
Yeah, I don't understand. I have a sticking point with Alex, because I think that the whole mysterious cool guy thing is just so fucking dumb.
It's tired.
Dude, you're on a reality TV show. You can't come into the house and be like, I'm so cool and mysterious and I write poetry. And the real thing that pissed me off the most was when they're sitting on the boat and they go, what kind of alcohol would you be? And everybody's got, you know, different answers. You know, I think Nick said Nick Patron or something.
No, I thought Nick said
Nick Andre.
No, somebody else said Nick Andre.
Oh, okay. Well, either way.
Because he said, like,
No. Hold on. They were all playing it cool.
Oh, my bad.
Alex immediately said, Moe Chandon.
Oh, I like, thought Nick said that.
No.
Oh, my bad.
No, absolutely not.
That's what I was trying to interrupt you, because I thought Nick said it. Okay.
Nope. It was Alex.
Of course it was.
And he said it very seriously with a straight face. It's just a dickhead. It's just like, it's such a douchebag move. If one of our friends did that, we would never let them forget that.
No, absolutely not. Well, Alex is kind of douchey.
He's very douchey.
Yeah.
But he's also clearly hooking up with Summer and downplaying it, which is making her go a little crazy because he's not talking about it. And there's a whole other thing with that. So what he's doing just kind of pisses me off generally. I think it's really good for the show. I think he adds like a completely different dynamic to the rest of the group, which is cool. And I love to see dynamics clash because it makes for very good TV. But me personally, not a big fan.
No, I and that's weird because like when he came on the screen, I was like, oh yeah, I liked Alex, I think. And then as it started to play out, I was like, oh, I remember he's got this like douchey kind of like
this like dark, edgy, like cool guy thing going on. It's like, no, dude.
You're putting on too much.
You're on Bravo.
And like when you say things like when you're all getting in the car, it's like, hey, we're all God's children. It's like you don't have to say shit like that.
Nope.
Every single time something's going on, just be like, I'm gonna ride in this car. Thumbs up. See you guys there. Cool.
Yeah.
Like you're right. He always has to drop like the cool guy one liner in there throughout whatever they're doing. But we did, as we've talked about already, like, but you can feel the tension with him and Summer because she's not having any of it. She's not even acknowledging that he's in the room, which led me to even more so be like, all right, well, something clearly happened between these two that we're not getting. But the basement situation, they seem to be, and that's what's so funny about dudes and like, all the dudes are going down. They're like, this is where we're staying. This is where we're staying. They're going to have the most fun in that bunkhouse.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fucking blast. And they're all acting like they're above it. I'm like, you guys are going to have the best summer ever bunking up.
I mean,
like
I get it. Like, you're a full-fledged adult.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get into a bunk bed. But you're there for weekends only. Right. This isn't a full summer where you're going to be there for six straight weeks.
Are they there for? No. Last year, they were there.
I thought they were coming up and back.
No, I don't know. Last year, they didn't. So I'm curious about this one. Did they?
Well, my thought might shift on this a little bit.
Yeah,
because I'd be a little. First off, it's not their fault. I mean, obviously, all the girls are going to come in. If you all came in at the same time, the girls are still getting all the rooms.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
That's fine. Yeah.
Now Alex might be able to talk himself into thinking that he can get a room.
Try to.
He can definitely try to. Maybe he gets Preston's room. I don't know. But he missed Preston's room. It's first come, first serve, brother.
That's the rules.
You got to do what you got to do.
That's the rules.
And he goes, yeah, when they go down there, I'm like, ah, that sucks. But again, this is, Bravo books these houses.
I know.
Like, it's what are you doing?
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, they know what they're doing.
They saw that and they went, this will be funny.
That's true. All right. I take it back. That would actually be really funny. And I think they're going to be fine with it. I mean, the group of guys, they all seem like they're close enough. They talk all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to be entirely fine. Obviously, it's going to come down to a smush room situation, if you will, where that's going to get a little weird. But
it's going to.
You got to, Mira and Nick are both actively dating. You know, when a girlfriend comes out, they'll take some time. But, you know, it's going to be weird with Alex.
Dude, fucking Amir. And I know he's going to get really old really fast with the girlfriend shit. We get it, bro. We get it. You have a serious girlfriend.
I think he did that.
You
poorly.
Don't?
No, I think they asked him about his girlfriend and he answered. I don't remember him talking about it too much.
I feel like it's going to be very much so. And that's the vibe I got from him last year because I like Amir and I think he's good for the show. I have no like issues with him.
Yeah.
I feel like he's that guy though that's like he has to announce that he's in a relationship. He has to be like the good guy all the time and always put on this persona of how much he respects everybody else and his girlfriend. He's not going to put it. Which is great, like live that life for sure, like be that guy.
Don't vocalize it.
Right, and I think that he's going to vocalize it a lot this summer.
I think maybe he feels like he has, I mean, just based off of what we saw, it seems like the girls in the house don't like his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, so she's maybe standoffish.
So maybe he's going to, that they say. We don't know if she's actually standoffish.
I believe him.
Why?
Because I like him. Like the three that said she was standoffish. Yeah. I'm like, come on.
I mean, I like them too. Obviously, they're on TV. So I guess we'll see how it transpires when inevitably, I forget his girlfriend's name, but whenever she pops up, because she'll come up for a week or whatever. They have the weirdest arrangements with girlfriends and boyfriends at this fucking house. If you remember the last year, they had to stagger them.
That was Silas's rule.
I know, but they're going to do it again. I guarantee they're going
to do it again. They don't need to. They need to knock it off with the rules. You can't put like embargoes on the house. If people have significant others, they're allowed to bring their... That was the weirdest shit last year. That was my one qualm.
It was so stupid.
It was.
Nick, your girlfriend's coming up. All right, she can come up this week. She's not off that week. All right, but she's going to have to make that work because the very next week, Bria's got her guy coming from Germany.
Oh, God. Is he back?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's coming back.
Fuck.
Did you not hear that?
Right?
Simon, yeah. Somebody had asked Bria if he was coming, and she said, yeah, towards the end of the summer, just like he did last year.
You know who I realized he reminds me of?
Who?
Try to guess. Super famous.
Oh, I don't know.
Elon Musk.
Oh, ooh.
Right?
That's tough. That's
a little
a
bit.
Look. Yeah, I get it. It's just a really tough look.
If you guys haven't watched yet and you don't know who Simon is, just wait. This is a German wild card.
He comes in and he wants to be everybody's best friend immediately. And Bria, and she'll do it again this year. I'm not a huge fan about Bria. I feel
I
like
do not like Bria.
She runs me down very quickly. By the end of the summer, she will be over this house. And then Simon will come and she'll be excited that he's there because she gets to talk to somebody because everybody else is annoyed with her. And then Simon will go and hang out with everybody else and then leave her in her room by herself with her dog.
And then she'll say that she wants to break up with Simon. And then she'll get mad that Simon's not taking care of the dog that she brought.
Correct.
It's all written in the stars.
Yeah, so that's still going to happen. But yeah, anyway, back to the basement situation.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be very interesting to just keep an eye on. Because, I don't see these guys fighting about it. I think that they're just going to have to deal with it. They might bitch about Nick taking all the closet space because he needs 75 starchy white shirts.
He needs them clean whites, dude.
Okay.
Crispy whites.
Crispy whites.
Crispy whites. Which is a great way to define a t-shirt, by the way.
Yeah, I think.
It does make it sound better.
People probably call us crispy whites. It's like we pop up on their TikTok feed. They're like, look at these crispy whites.
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Probably. I'll take it.
As soon as I heard it, I'm like, that's us. Damn it.
That's okay. We can be called worse.
Yeah.
But as the group's all getting there, Preston arrives, the rest of the crew arrives, we get a little hint about a Jamaica trip, which is not that important yet. But the underlying theme of it is the lack of including other people, and that's across the group. This one in particular is about not including Jasmine, which we will talk about a lot later. But there seems to be some disconnect in the group throughout the off season. You know, there was trips had where some people weren't involved. There was events that were had that other people weren't involved, dinner dates, like all this other stuff. And again, the good thing out of that is, and we get pictures of it as well, this crew hung out consistently throughout the entire offseason, which is great. We love that, developing real relationships.
When did season one air? I couldn't remember. Was it 2 years ago?
Maybe. Maybe a year and a half. I think a year and a half.
Okay, all right.
But
they kept showing pictures from like July 2023, and I'm like, weren't they there? But I guess not. No, yeah, no, they definitely weren't.
They must have taken last year off. No, that doesn't make sense. They filmed last year. So maybe those pictures were taken during filming or like right after filming, before something like that. I don't know. Regardless, we need the flow chart. None of y'all made a flow chart yet.
Doesn't matter. Let's go back to Jamaica.
Yeah. So this is going to be something that is causing some tension in the group is who hangs out with who and when they hang out with each other. And that's when we find out about That's when we find out about Amir and he's in a relationship there getting to the house. But we get a newbie and I love Noelle out of the gate. She is awesome. Her reactions are great. She fits in well with the group. She's not afraid to talk, but she's also not like overly comfortable where she's inserting herself into places. Like she comes in perfectly.
Yeah, she does. I think that between her and Shanice, we're going to have a great time, great summer with them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the balance that we're hoping for in this situation. Obviously, Amir comes back. He's in a relationship. We know Nick's in a relationship. We know Jasmine's married. You know, Summer and Jordan, we're not really sure what's going to happen, obviously, with the Summer and Alex thing. But you see Noelle and you ask, all right, are you single? Are you in a relationship? Oh, no, I'm single. I'm ready to have a good time. And then Bravo immediately cuts over to Alex, plays a little sexy music and like, oh, look at him looking over at that. And he absolutely is. Oh, and he's going to try to find a way to navigate through the summer of it all. And not the literal summer, the person summer. I think you got that. Yeah. And then try to put the moves on Noelle and it might work. It might not work. But I guarantee you it's going to blow up the house, and that's going to be great.
We'll blow up the house. I already know his approach. I know what it's going to be.
What's his approach?
He's going to have a one-on-one with Noelle in which he
talking
plays
about poetry?
Yeah. Honestly, it's going to be that. It's going to be kind
of.
Does
he play an instrument, too? He plays guitar.
He sings really well. He does all that. I think he's just a musician. He's really good. Like, he's a tremendous singer. Last year, he sang at the end of the year party, and it was. Like, he's really good.
Oh, God,
but I think
that
it's going to intro with that. He's going to talk about his artsy side. I think he's going to try to play the whole summer thing. You know, I told her exactly what it was, and it got out of control. She wanted certain things. That just wasn't me. That's not who I am. Like, he's going to play the card of, like, I'm this deep soul that's not ready for a real connection yet, but maybe I'm gonna find that connection in you. That's the move. He's gonna play that move.
I think you're right.
That's what I think is gonna happen.
And it's gonna blow up the house.
Oh yeah.
And that's gonna be great.
It's gonna be great. And We find out that Preston's father has passed away. Here's a weird story for you guys. So as I'm watching this episode today, I checked my phone because we posted today. By the way, quick plug, random plug, my bad. We have our live show coming up in D.C.
Fuck.
We need a whiteboard. Well, we need a whiteboard so I can write this shit down and I know, like, hey, don't forget.
Yeah, but sometimes what we do is we forget to do it and then we just do it at the end.
And then you just plug it in.
And cut and put it back in the whatever.
No, this
just,
is a mid-ep plug.
Yep.
May 3rd, Union Stage, D.C. It's a Friday night. We got Candace Dillard coming out. We got Chris Bassett coming out. And we got Ryan Bailey coming out. So if you do not have your tickets yet, I will tell you right now, we dropped the post today about Candace and Chris coming on, and the response was massive. A ton of people are responding. It looks like people are really excited. So it looks like tickets are going to start selling pretty quick. Make sure you go get your tickets so you can come hang out with all of us. It's going to be a really fun night. So go do that. But back to my funny story. So as I'm watching, you know, Martha's Vineyard, I wanted to check and see, you know, what the numbers were doing on the post. So I open it up and we got a new follower and I look and it's fucking Preston from the show. So I messaged him. I was like, this is wild. I'm watching you on TV right now. And he just followed us. And he said, isn't that divine timing?
Divine timing.
Divine timing.
Like that line.
It looks like we're going to have him on the show at some point. He was open to the idea. He said he's not a quote-unquote bro, but he'd love to come on. To which I replied, bro is all-encompassing. And when you come on the show, we will anoint you officially as a bro. So we have that to look forward to. And I just thought it was divine timing. That's divine timing.
It was.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Preston on the show. He lets us know that his father passed away recently, and the funeral is actually the following day. And of course, I think everybody's initial reaction when he's like, I'm not going to be there, was like, what the fuck? And then he goes into the story. And we find out that he hasn't seen his dad. They didn't have a relationship, I think, after middle school, was it?
Yeah.
And his dad was an abusive alcoholic. It was a tough upbringing. They reconnected when he got out of law school. But he shares, you know, it didn't feel genuine. It felt like he was, it felt not great.
Yeah.
So their relationship for the entirety of his life was strained. But regardless, it's hitting him a type of way. And I think it's going to probably ramp up a little bit the more real it gets. And maybe we'll see that on the boat in the next episode. But obviously a very difficult thing to process. And that's what he's going through. But
hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
They get back to the house and everyone's at dinner, or they're getting ready for dinner. And let me just say this, because I'm 99.9% sure that that poor lobster was still alive in that pot.
Yeah.
And they didn't have it boiling yet.
I thought there were crabs.
There was crabs as well.
I think the crabs were also moving around easily and not boiling.
Well, if it was the crabs, that's different. All right. Well, not even. Okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're going to steam boil crabs, you put them into boiling water.
Yeah.
You don't put them in a lukewarm bath and slowly cook them to death. That's really fucking mean. If it was the lobster, you don't do that either. You hit them in the back of the head with a knife, kill them, then put them in. Spare them the pain of being boiled to death. You know, I cook lobster. I don't love the process. It is what it is. Rich people like lobster. I cook a lot of lobster.
Yeah.
Kill them first.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing because they did a pan across the room during, at least across the kitchen, while all the girls were cooking all of this. And you just see one lonely crab just kind of stick his claw up.
It looked like he was.
And he was just like this. Help. And he wasn't like, yeah, and he wasn't boiling. He was just, you could see some water splashing around and it wasn't boiling water. So, yeah, I thought about that immediately. I'm like, I don't think that's how you do that.
No, it was
kind of rough.
That's tough. Don't do that to those poor animals. Yeah. You're going to eat them. They're delicious. I get it. Just treat them the right way, please. But regardless.
What did you make of the two packs of Old Bay getting dumped in?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, overkill probably,
yeah.
But I don't know, because you're boiling them in water. So I bet you'd be surprised with, they're obviously going to be very, very Old Bay-y, but you probably would be surprised they're not going to be as Old Bay-y.
But how does that work? This is just completely off the rails right now. They have a shell.
Yeah.
It's not like getting directly through
they're
to the
not
meat.
Waterproof.
Well, I know, but like, I guess my thought was you dump as much seasoning in there as possible because only some of it's actually getting through
that's
the shell.
That's the thing. That's why, like,
I don't think it really mattered that much.
It does to a certain extent, but no, that's my point. Is like, that's why I was saying it wouldn't be as overpowering as you might think just by putting the two in
there. That's what I thought. That was
because
my...
it's boiling in the water.
Right.
So your thought process was correct, sir. But anyway, we're tackling the important issues on the show. But while they're in the kitchen is kind of when we start to find out about Summer and Alex. And Summer's claiming that, you know, it's all good, Noelle. Like, go do your thing. I give you full agency to pursue Alex if you want to. The actual attitude that we're getting from Summer, that is not the case at all.
No.
She is definitely hung up on Alex, which is fine. I'm sure that I would have to guess that maybe some false promises were made, or there's definitely some leading on going.
Yeah, definitely some leading on going, just knowing the situation and watching them talk last year on the show.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on there just based off of what we saw from Alex's game. But I mean, we did quickly identify what was going on. It wasn't just a face value. Yeah, we hung out here and there. It's like you don't go to different coasts to hang out with someone at all. And then I know that because I saw a couple of people like, oh, wow, why is she so hung up on Alex? It clearly wasn't that serious. It's like, yeah, there's probably some more to this that we're going to find out. And we do find that out a little bit later. It's just not, you know, there's no one to blame yet is what I probably will say.
Not yet. But we get to the next scene, and that's dinner. Everyone's sitting outside, and it looks like a lovely evening. We find out that Jasmine's sober. And now that you say that she's pregnant and that was speculation in the house, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And also, if she's pregnant now, Silas was deployed from the Summer for 10 months, then... yeah, that time's up because he isn't home for 10 months, right? So summertime last year, let's say it's July. Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah,
she's not going to be home.
Did she have the baby yet? I think she's pregnant now. I don't know.
How far? Or maybe it was who knows? I don't know. We'll find out. Like, I don't know why I'm trying to figure that one out.
Just let it go.
But she's claimed to be having a dry summer, which is great. I'm glad the group is supportive of it. But... this is when we get into Alex and Summer and what the hell's going on here, because he had an event in the city that he didn't invite everybody to. Summer wasn't invited, and Alex blames it on a subscription list.
Yep.
Like, woof.
A subscription list and not following the page on Instagram. You could have gotten your own tickets. It doesn't sound like everybody else got their own tickets.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds like you invited who you wanted to invite. This is where, like, just say it.
Just say
it. What I mean, just be like... things are weird between us. We weren't talking anymore. Why would I invite you?
Right. It was awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It sounds like Jordan didn't go either, because apparently Summer was at Jordan's place, and when they FaceTimed that morning, so I guess they were still talking, when they FaceTimed that morning.
It was a group FaceTime, and that's where Alex
okay, so
saw,
it was a group FaceTime. Okay.
But he still saw Summer in Jordan's apartment, and he's claiming, I didn't know you were in the city, which is bullshit. This is just a fuckboy that got caught.
Yeah,
is what happened.
That's all it is. Yeah. He was trying to spit some game to somebody else that was at that party.
Yeah, and he gets caught in the moment and blames on the subscription service. In this moment, as I'm watching Summer's response to all this, I'm like, I think she's in love with this guy.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think it becomes more apparent later.
This is the thing, is that tracks for what we saw last year. When we saw the two of them talking and Alex was reading her poetry or whatever fucking dumb shit, I don't want to... bash all poets, but when Alex did it, I thought it was dumb. And you can see that she was really into it. What?
That's surprising. I figured...
I'm not bashing all poets?
Yeah.
I think poetry can be nice.
Interesting.
I'm not going to write it, but I'd read it.
You're an enigma, dude.
Yeah, how about that? when you saw that last year, you can tell, like, she was very interested in, like, falling for him back then.
Yep.
And then they hung out more, and you have to imagine more of the same continued when they were hanging out. So it's reasonable to assume that she fell for him, and she was very into him and had feelings. He was just playing this fucking game this entire time and playing her. So for him to get called out in front of everybody, now, I was at the time a little confused because of what she said immediately after, where she's like, you were inside of me.
Bold.
And everybody was shocked at her statement. We find out that Nick knew pretty much immediately.
Yep. Amir did too.
Amir knew right afterwards. Jordan knew.
Because Summer sent a picture.
So that's the thing, is that's where it gets a little murky with me, because I thought that Alex had told Nick immediately, because we're led to believe that Alex and Nick talk all the time, and Amir is little brother, and we're going to talk to him all the time too. So my mind went to, oh, so Alex is texting Nick immediately and saying this. You don't get to be upset when it's brought up at a table.
Right.
When you're the one who's telling everyone.
Correct.
Then it gets a little more misconstrued, just because I guess Summer sent a picture to Jordan.
Jordan was the one
Jordan
telling
was
people.
Going and telling people, but I still don't believe it. I still do believe that Nick and Amir found out from Alex.
I agree too.
Because that's the same type of behavior that he's been exuding since we saw him. He's going to do all this poetry and shit up front, and then he's going to go be a fuckboy behind the scenes.
Yes.
So of course he's telling his friends that he hooked up with Summer over the summer. That's exactly what we're going to see. So I didn't think of course he gets offended by it. It's like, I don't want, you know, our business going. Everybody knows.
That's not
what are you
what
upset
it
about?
Is, dude. That's not what it is. He's a fuckboy.
He's trying to hook up with Noel.
Any of his business out there. Yeah. It's like any dude that lives that lifestyle, when their shit gets brought up in a public forum, they always get uncomfortable, backpedal, and say, I don't want my business out there. I'm a private person.
Good point.
It's like, no, you're a fuckboy that just got thrown under the bus, and now you're panicking. That's what happened. But Bria, this was random as shit, and this is what you're going to get out of Bria. Inserts herself into it. And she's like, well, while we're on the topic, there was a lot of stuff that people were invited to this summer. Let's go through it. And that's like bringing Jasmine into it. Everything gets kind of blown up for a second. And this is why, and I loved Preston last season. I'm excited for him this season as well. Because he does, I think, what we're all doing at home. He's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And he just
we're still stuck on what Summer just said. Why are you talking about inviting people to different places?
Yeah. Summer just said that you were inside me. Like, that's a crazy sentence to say. Yeah.
Let's take a second. Let's reflect. Let's break that down a little bit, huh? I don't give a shit about you, Bria. What are you talking about?
Let's process that part first, and then we'll move on from there. She takes offense to Preston. That was a very general, oh my God, at the table.
Yeah.
Very clearly was not directed at anybody.
No.
It was just, oh my God, what are we doing right now? It's the first night. Can we just eat some fucking lobster and crab and shut up? Bria takes it personally, stomps off inside, says, fuck that guy, takes the dog, goes away for 5 seconds. Jordan goes in, talks her off the ledge, comes back out, immediately apologizes.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
I don't know. I just don't get it. But this is what we're getting. This is going to be, by the end of the season, Bria is going to do that, and she's just going to go to bed.
Yeah.
That's what she does. And she did that the entire second half of last season. We're starting so quickly with this.
Preston calls it out.
Yeah.
He says, what, are you going to go get in bed for 2 more days?
Yeah. And that's what she does. And I don't want to see that. Like, that's Bria is the only one really on this show that I feel like it's just dramatics just for dramatics.
Yeah.
It's just like, look at me. I'm going to run away. I'm going to go do this. And nobody cares.
But I don't think that's for the show. I think that's how she is. Yeah,
I
agree with that.
And look, you're friends with all of these people. You've known them for so long. So if you go do that and you're going to do that every time, nobody's going to care anymore. Nobody's going to come run and get you. Jordan went and got you because it's the first night.
Mm-hmm.
Flash forward like 4 or 5 weeks. No. Nobody's coming to get you.
No, because they're not used to your bullshit again. They're going to get used to it pretty quickly. But this is where I'm like, and I do believe that Alex is the main problem here. I do believe that things were said, maybe false promises, maybe later on a little bit. But at the same time, he does make it pretty clear that he's a fuckboy. Like, he literally says that to people. And when they sit back down, you know, I thought the Summer shit was squashed after she drops the you were inside me stuff. Like, that was a good haymaker, leave it there. The minute that everything calms down with Bria, she immediately gets back into it and says, well, you haven't responded as to why I wasn't invited yet, which on one hand is fair. Like, you really haven't answered and you got kind of a scapegoat, if you will, in Bria to not have to address it. But at the same time, and what Amir says, I'm like, yeah, I don't like how he said it because he said, you're not accepting his truth. It's like, oh, no, because he's lying. But like,
he's lying and he also hasn't given us his truth yet.
That's my whole thing. But at the same time, when he says, like, what answer are you looking for here? That's where I'm going. Yeah, like, what do you want from him? Because he hasn't given it to you yet. Why do you expect
know the
it
answer?
Now?
I think she just wants him to address it in front of everybody else.
Which is fair.
Because she feels silly. She feels like, look, I allowed him to lead me on. I allowed him to get to the point where I have feelings for him, and we're going to do this.
This is where she drops the you've been inside me line.
Yeah.
It was after Bria went.
Was it after Bria?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I thought it was.
No, yeah, trust me. It's right here.
Okay.
Yep.
I trust the notes.
Yeah, because I wrote in big letters, silence, after it was dropped, because everyone's just sitting there like, holy shit. We don't.
Didn't
go back.
She say it again though?
She says it again later.
Okay. All
right. Later. Not this was the first time it was said. This is where you can tell, and that's when, you know, I'm believing that Summer was jaded here only because Alex is like, well, didn't you do the same thing with Jasmine? And that's where we start to dive more into the Jasmine stuff as to her not getting included for the entire offseason, pretty much. She was always left out. I do believe that's a Silas-centric issue, and I hope that we get into that more, and I think she'd do herself a lot of favors, like we talked about earlier, if she just kind of owned up to where she was last year. And she is a little bit, like, she acknowledges, like, yeah, last summer was rough. It was my first year settling into marriage, all that good stuff. But regardless, this is the first dinner, and holy shit. Because I was thinking in the beginning when everyone was getting there, I'm like, oh, it's pretty late. Like, what's going to happen? Like, how are they going to get into some drama? And it jumps off, and there's shit going on with everybody. But again, it's this underlying respect for one another in which it does not get to a point where you can't pull it back in. We're going to get to a point this summer. It's their second season, all right? They got their sea legs. They're more comfortable. Things are going to blow up more this year than they did last year, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing some, like, real feuds in this house that aren't around a dude that got kicked off the show because he took a shit in somebody else's toilet. This is going to be more palpable drama, and it's going to be exciting to watch. But after the dinner, you just get the microphone of Summer talking about Alex. And I think Jordan's asking her a question. Like, it seems to me that this was about something else.
Yeah.
And Summer acknowledges that. She goes, yeah, it probably was, actually, because I said you were inside me.
Yeah.
That's a, yeah, you're alluding to something else.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely alluding to something else. And I think it's going to continue to show its head.
Yeah. Yeah. But the next morning, we get introduced to something that I am so excited for. It's called the Truth Booth.
Yeah.
And that is a confessional in the house. And we saw this on some Ultimate Girls Trips. We've seen this in a couple of other shows sparingly. The on-site confessional is huge.
It's massive because we're going to get people that are very tuned up after a long day out on the boat or doing whatever you're doing at Martha's Vineyard. And you've got a problem with someone, and you're going to stumble on into the Truth Booth, and you're going to let it rip.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to make for fantastic TV.
It's going to be fucking great. But we got a quick FaceTime with Jasmine and Silas, and I thought we weren't going to have to see him at all this season, so I was kind of bummed out. But the whole point of that conversation is she's ready to try to take steps forward with Jordan in some way, shape, or form. And how that's going to go, we find out later. But she's at least acknowledging that I'm ready to move forward in this. And I think that this is also just her saying I'm ready to move forward with the group and see where things go and reconnect with some of these friendships. And
but the phrasing was very peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
The way that she said it was just like you told me to.
Yes.
I am going to try to move forward with Jordan. So that shows me that Silas is still pulling the strings over there. I don't know what he gets out of that. Now, look, you can say he's been off screen. Maybe he had a rough season. You want to try to make excuses for him, whatever. He treated his wife like shit, so he's an asshole. Is he trying to get her back into the group because he feels bad and wants her to be, like, happy? Or is there something else going on here where he's like, no, I want you to, like, stay on the show? Because honestly, if you're not friends with anybody, it's going to be really tough to stay on the show. Like, I didn't really know what his motive. I'm just so trained to look for Silas's motives. And when she said, just like you told me to, I tried to talk to Jordan. It's like,
I mean, I'm not giving him any credit, but maybe since he's overseas and they are married, maybe he realizes, like, hey, you're in that house all summer. Like, you're going to have to rekindle some of these friendships. So it's not, like, the most miserable summer of your life.
Maybe. I just immediately went back to what he tried to do last summer.
I'll never forget the ironing scene. The ironing scene was the tipping point, I think, for me, where I was like, wow, this guy's irredeemable because you're yelling at your wife for not ironing your shit right. Iron it yourself, dude.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? This is going to happen all season. I know we're going to keep talking about him, which sucks. But they head to the boat, and it is the day of Preston's father's funeral, so he's all up in his feels, which makes sense, and he just shares the group, like, I'm just glad to be here with you guys. And that's where we find out about the bad relationship because of alcohol. It was an abusive childhood, all of those things. It's really sad, and, you know, as we always like to do in these moments when people are vulnerable and share on TV is give them credit. Like, that's not an easy thing to share. I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people out there to hear that story and to also see how well he's doing now. And it, whether it's in spite of that or just because he found his way along the way, regardless, like, it's a cool scene for him to be standing there and just share this story with the audience. So we appreciate that always. But we get a very serious conversation between Jasmine and Jordan. And if you watched last year, you saw this breakdown of their friendship. And they were really tight when they came on the show last year. And because of this perfect housewife model that Jasmine was trying to live by, it did put some strain on the relationship because Jordan's like, I don't know who you are. I don't know who this person is. I've known you for a long time. We've worked together for, you know, I think she said 6 years.
I think they've known each other since like 2018.
Right. She's like, and I can't trust the person I'm seeing because you're not the person that I know. And that it's deeper than just you're acting different. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. So Jordan's response to that was just, I'm pushing myself away.
Yeah.
I'm getting the fuck out of here. And that put a massive strain on the relationship. And in this scene, yes, Jasmine's being very forthcoming. Yes, Jasmine's trying to make the effort, and she's talking the majority of the time. You're not saying what Jordan needs to hear, and that's simply, hey, I wasn't myself last year. I know she broaches it a little bit, but she needs to take full accountability and say, I know I wasn't myself last year. Let me prove to you that I'm still your friend, and let's rebuild this friendship. She's still looking for something from Jordan's side, and I don't think Jordan really owes her that much of an explanation.
No, I mean, you can look at it a couple different ways. Like, yeah, you could have Jordan just come right out and say, look, you've changed a lot since you were with Silas, and just pass the buck and blame him directly and say you've changed entirely because of this man and who you're married to, and I don't like that, and I don't like who you've become. You could have her do that, but this is the first sit-down since all of the uninvites and stuff happened over the summer, over the last couple of months. So Jordan is sitting there waiting to see what Jasmine says, which I appreciate, because you're going to let Jasmine just talk and talk and talk, and she's not actually telling you what the reason is. She's not addressing, which we all know, and Jasmine's smart enough to understand exactly what it is, but she's refusing to actually say it. So there's all these excuses piling out and whatever, and then you get Jasmine's confessional where she's saying, oh yeah, you know, I feel like I'm talking the whole time and Jordan's just waiting to hear what I'm going to say. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what she's doing. And the reason she's not embracing it and not talking to you is because you're not saying the actual issue here. And that's all it really comes down to. So I feel like, and I'm appreciative of the fact that Jasmine didn't blow it up.
Yeah.
She could have looked at Jordan and said, what the fuck, why aren't you saying anything? Like, this isn't a conversation. This is just me talking. And I don't want to do this if we're not going to get anywhere. Instead, we just get the most awkward ending. All right, yeah, we're good. Like, you want to hug it out?
Is this authentic for you?
Like, yeah, then yeah, throw that little jab in there. Is this authentic enough for you? Am I authentic right now? No, you still didn't say anything, but we're going to get up and we're going to hug right now just so we can squash it. Like, nothing's going to change.
Yep.
Jordan's not going to get any closer to you because you're still not being honest with yourself. You're not being honest with Jordan. And I appreciate that out of Jordan because Jordan knows what she needs to hear and she's not hearing it.
Yeah, I agree. And it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. They're both open to a friendship, and they both are aware that what their new friendship is going to look like will not be reminiscent of their old friendship. They're going to have to rebuild this in some way, shape, or form, but at least they're both open to the idea, and this is a first step. It's not the best first step. It didn't go probably as well as it could have, but it's a first step.
It's something.
It's something. And the last conversation we get is finally between Alex and Summer, and she just flat out says, I feel disrespected. And I was like, all right, that's fair. Yeah, you guys had sex. Like, you guys had a thing. You were going back and forth, like New York, LA, all that shit. Yeah, I would feel disrespected too. The next line, I'm like, ooh. Because she says, once you've been inside somebody, there's a certain kind of love for each other. And I was like, you just shot yourself in the foot.
No, I don't know if she shot herself in the foot. I think she just showed who she is. Like,
or where she stands.
Yeah, I get it. You know, this is a very, like, old way of thinking. But in this day and age, you know, people are out there having sex all the time, doing whatever. And then you can do it for sport. You can do it for fun. Sure, go after it. She's showing that she has a more of a traditional value set where she said, I let you in. We had sex.
No pun intended.
As much as I want to sing the Aldous Snow song, Inside of You, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, get him to the Greek.
Anyway, which is also relevant now because we've got Sergio out there doing whatever the fuck he's doing.
Fuck.
The I don't want to get into that. It's been consuming my life.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think really what she just showed is, look, like, I really liked you and I let you get to the point where we were having sex and you didn't feel that way. So that, I think, assures us of what our thinking was confirmed right there.
Yeah.
That Alex was saying all the things that she wanted to hear just so he could hook up with her. And she let him in. Look, I get it. You can do that and the love thing, whatever. But if that's her value set, then I don't care.
No, like, no. I'm not faulting her for saying that. I'm saying that by phrasing it that way, it's like he's supposed to reciprocate those feelings because that's how you feel. And that's not...
That's fair.
That's not the same.
But I raise you this question.
Okay.
Do you think that they said I love you to each other?
No, I don't.
I could see Alex doing that.
I can see
Summer saying, wow, I've really fallen for you. Like, I think I love you. And Alex agreeing to it and saying it back because that's what she wants to hear at the time.
I think that she would have said
it. I think there's more here.
I think there's more there.
You think she said it and he just didn't?
No. I think there's definitely more here. I don't think we're getting the full story. I think that if they had said that to each other, she would have brought that up. She would have said, you told me you loved me.
I think there's still time.
There is, and we'll see. But I will say it kind of throws a wrench into the whole thing because at the end she says, I put expectations on you that weren't fair, and I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, and then she just completely screws herself out of this.
Yeah, now I'm like, all right, well, did he lead you on?
Now it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if he led you on because you just said, I knew who you were.
Right.
And then you go to your confessional and you're like, yeah, you go to a fuckboy for exactly that.
Well, that's just her trying to save face.
Yeah, I get that, and that's okay. But once you're going through all of this, like, we're feeling bad for you, you fell for this guy, he just kind of, like, led you on and then, you know, got in your pants and then you left, that's what happened. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, I knew exactly who you were. I knew you didn't want to get into a relationship. Then you don't really deserve to be mad anymore. Like,
no,
you knew.
You can still feel disrespected for not getting invited to the thing. That's okay.
That's not the problem, though.
No, it's not. That's the excuse she's using.
It ended and she didn't want it to end is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and look, that's where I have like a lot of questions. No, I don't think that she just like flat out got these feelings out of nowhere and was like blindsided by this whole thing falling. I do think she was blindsided, but I think there's way more to it. I think that Alex is playing the, I told you from the beginning like how I was. There's definitely more from the poet.
Well, I do hope, because this has the legs to just kind of run the entire season. And I don't want that to happen. If they mix it up a little bit and she gets really mad, like they're drunk one night and Alex is hitting on, or well, Alex isn't drunk, but Alex is hitting on Noelle or hitting on somebody else that they just met. And she blows up and she goes to the truth booth and she starts blowing it up.
Truth booth.
I'm all about that. I'm
so
good with that. I just don't want to have the same damn conversation every week.
No, I'll tell you exactly that's gonna what's going to really happen in my mind.
And in your mind.
In my mind. This is what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to hook up with Noelle. I think it's going to cause a massive fight in the house, and I think we're going to get an exceptional truth booth out of it.
I hope so.
Truth booth is going to be fucking incredible.
God, if they don't use that truth booth, I'm going to be so upset.
I was honestly a little upset that we found out about it at the end of the episode. It's like, where was this fucking thing after
that? Okay.
Oh, you're right.
You don't want too much of a good thing.
You're right. I'm that excited for it where I'm like, I need more truth booth.
Me too.
We need more truth booths across Bravo.
Too much of a good thing. You know what? Actually, no. We'll leave that up to the producers because they're the ones who actually have to edit it down to like good shit.
You're right. But I also have a very addictive personality. So give me the fucking truth booth. Let's get to questions.
Oh, God. All right. First one up here from Daria_Ping. Is Jasmine or Jordan the problem?
I think that you can't place blame entirely on one person or the other. I think that Jasmine owes Jordan an explanation for what happened last year. I don't think it's fair for Jordan to hold her feet to the fire for too long because of what she saw transpiring last year.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that both are technically to blame, but I don't know if it's necessarily blame. It's just obviously, you know, there's a disagreement, so there's blame to be thrown around. I think that, you know, they can figure it out over the course of the season. Or, you know, if Jordan just sticks her head in the sand and Jasmine just tries her best to show that she's, you know, her friend, then it's Jordan's fault.
Yes.
Then it's, if she doesn't say anything, or if by the end of the summer Jordan's like, you know what, like, I just think we've outgrown each other as friends, then nobody's really at fault.
This shouldn't be irreconcilable.
It shouldn't be.
Like, this is not the end of the world.
But it could be.
Could be. Shouldn't be.
But it shouldn't be.
Should not be, but.
Could be.
shouldn't be. But that's all we got for this episode of Martha's Vineyard. But don't forget to get your tickets for our show in D.C. on May 3rd, 2024 at the Union Stage. Once again, we got Candace Dillard, Chris Bassett, Ryan Bailey. It's going to be a blast. Link is in our bio to get those tickets. We also got Boston coming up June 14th. It's also a Friday night, so go get your tickets for that. Those are almost sold out, and there's only 75 seats in that place. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, go get those tickets. Come hang out with your bros. You got anything else?
Nope, all good.
No, Rob, bros, they're out of here.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.